two entrances. Entrance number one. The people have come into the land of promise. Now, this promise was made a long, 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 long time ago. Okay? Moses didn't make it. Instead, it's Joshua who leads the people into the land. They're getting settled in. They're living in houses they did not build. They're cultivating fields that they did not clear. Life is becoming much easier. So Jacob calls them all to Shechem. Now, Shechem in the ancient world was a crossroad. Abraham had been at Shechem. Jacob had been at Shechem. Joshua calls them to Shechem because the people are at a crossroads, you might say. It was hard enough to follow the Lord while they were wandering in the wilderness, depending upon God for manna to eat every day. But now they can depend upon themselves. Now they can grow their own stuff. They won't have any more need of this God, will they? Or will they? So Joshua calls the people out, and he tells them a story. He tells them their own story. It doesn't begin with the release from captivity in Egypt. No, it begins with Abraham and Sarah and a promise God made, a promise that these people were getting to live out. And then he poses a question. Choose this day whom you will serve. Do you want to serve the God your ancestors served? Before our God spoke to Abraham, called Abraham and Sarah out of everything they knew into complete mystery to a place that they had never heard of? You want to worship the gods of Egypt, the gods of power, the gods of great armies and military might and slavery? Or are you going to worship the Lord? When you see that L-O-R-D in caps in Scripture, it's the translation of a specific Hebrew word, actually four Hebrew letters, Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. We say Yahweh, but the vowels are not in Hebrew. It's the name that God gives to Moses at the burning bush. We don't actually know what it means, but it means something like, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. This is the name of the God of the Hebrew people, the God of the Israelites. So Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve. Some of these other gods, some of these gods of our neighboring peoples, or will you serve the Lord who has been woven into your story all these years? Which story will you live out? As for me and my house, Joshua says, we will serve Yod-Heh, Vav-Heh. Entrance number two. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem for the very last time, really, making a journey that will lead to a place that he'd been telling his disciples about for a long time, and they still really haven't gotten it. They're waving those palm branches and they're shouting, and they think he's going to establish a throne of some kind, that he's going to replace the Roman rule with something that God had intended all along. Jesus knows that what he's going to find at the end of this journey is an execution and a cross. He's been telling them all along. They haven't quite heard yet. Throughout this week, Jesus will be telling his followers their own story. He'll be telling anyone who will listen the story of the God of Abraham, all the way back to Abraham and the promises God made. I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. And then he will live out those promises in stark and surprising ways. He will live them out by demonstrating God's expansive love. He had talked about God's love, a love that expanded to include a Syrophoenician woman, expanded to include a Samaritan woman, expanded to include Gentiles. But later in the week, it would expand to include the very people who were shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." It would expand to include the people who drove the spikes through his wrists. The kind of love that is unending. That is the story that Jesus not only tells, but lives out. And so this week presents that same kind of question that Joshua put to the children of Israel. Choose this day which story you're going to serve. Do you want to serve the story of the emperor? Do you want to serve the story of Herod? You want to serve the story of great military power and might and prestige and riches? Or do you want to serve the one who embodied the story of how God brings life out of death, of how God takes our weakest moments and turns them into our strengths, about how God overcomes hatred and violence with the sheer power of love? Jesus says it to Pilate, "If I wanted to, I could call armies of angels down here, but that's not what this kingdom is about. It's about something you can't even begin to imagine. It's about a power more powerful than any emperor, any king, any president, anyone. It's about the power of God's love, expansive, inclusive, endless." It's interesting how these stories put such a stark contrast and point on what we're being asked to do, how we're being asked to choose. I don't know if you are familiar with Nashville Reads. It's a program the mayor started, and the idea was that every Nashvillian would read the same book at the same time. This year it's Life of Pi. And a while back, my daughters Lizzie and Sarah and I got to go hear Jan Martel, who is the author of that book. He had grown up in Quebec. His, I think, probably grandparents or great-grandparents had been Catholic, but his family was really very secular. They believed in reason. They believed in logic. They believed in science. Religion was superstition, primarily. They wanted nothing to do with it. And he had grown up knowing that, believing that, really. He had gone to India to write a book about Portugal. I never quite got why he went to India to write a book about Portugal. But he wound up writing a book about India. And the story in the book begins, "I will tell you a story that will make you believe in God." Wow, what a story is that? Because you see, Jan Martel was not satisfied with what could be provided by rationality, logic, science. There was something missing, that element of imagination that allows us to participate in story, in other people's lives. And so I hope I don't give too much away if you haven't read it or seen the movie. But it's basically a story about a young man who goes on an odyssey, literally. He, first of all, begins to explore different religious traditions, and each tradition is delighted that he's come to be a part of theirs, but they're quite dismayed and condemning when he goes to explore someone else's religious tradition, because, of course, we have all the answers. We have it right, right? God is contained in what we believe. I will be who I will be? Contained in any container? I don't think so. In any case, his family owns a zoo. They decide to move the whole family and the zoo across the ocean. In the midst of that, the ship sinks. And the rest is the story of his survival on the lifeboat. He tells the story to the narrator, essentially the person who's interviewing him. It's a marvelous story. If you haven't read it, I recommend it. And then at the end of the story, he's interviewed by two Japanese representatives of the owners of the ship that sank. And when he tells them this story, they don't believe him. They say, that's incredible. That couldn't happen. He said, you don't like that story? They said, no, because it couldn't happen. Tell us a story that'll help us understand why this ship sank. So he tells them a different story. It's very similar in some ways. They like that story a little bit better. And then he says, okay, you choose. You pick the story. And I'll leave it at that. Because you see, that's where we are. This week and every week, we are asked, choose this day whom you will serve. You know, Bob Dylan said it, you're going to serve somebody. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve the story that says strength is being armed to the teeth? Or are you going to serve the story that says strength is being willing to go to a cross? You're going to serve the story that says power is all about emperors and armies. You're going to serve the story that says power is about trusting in God, who has been faithful throughout all of these many, many, many eons. You're going to serve the story about Pilate, Herod. You're going to serve the story about this ragtag rabbi from Galilee, who rides into town on a donkey, for God's sake, not even a horse. That's left to Pilate, who's coming in from the other side of town. So, during this week, we have to decide which story we serve. Almost every year, something comes out about Easter time that throws Christians into a tizzy. This year, I think maybe it was the Bible on the History Channel. I've not seen it. I actually read the book. I recommend it too, by the way. A few years ago, it was the Da Vinci Code. Back when I was a kid, it was the Passover plot. And people will come to me, and they'll say, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? People are going to fall away from church. They're going to stop believing. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I said, we just keep telling the same story we've been telling 2,000 years. These other things come and go. How many of you remember the Passover plot? I see one hand. An old gray-haired guy like me, Kirk. How many of you know this story we're about to tell this week? This is a story that lasts. This is a story that sticks. You can be faithful to this story because this story is faithful to you because the God who tells this story is a faithful God. So I put it to you, choose this day whom you will serve. The gods of your ancestors that were worshiped beyond the river, the gods of the Egyptians, or Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, I will be who I will be, the God of Jesus. The choice is yours.